This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, Diego? Permission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. So we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, Brett Hull. Hockey royalty at the Blues Parade over the weekend had one of the most bizarre appearances ever and tried to get the crowd to chant a chant that made absolutely no sense. We'll play that audio coming up for you in approximately 15 minutes from now. It's also Trash Tuesday, so send us your trashes. You just heard Jay Berman mention that Al Horford has declined his $30 million option from the Boston Celtics, although reports are that both sides will continue working together or negotiating with one another or talking. Now, this is interesting because Al Horford, I can't imagine, makes $30 million anywhere in the league this year. I mean, at this age, is Horford going to make $30 million somewhere on the open market? Unless he's looking for more security and he says, let me cash in now and get a 2 or 3 year deal somewhere, even if it's not 30 for this season, I'll take 3 years at 50 and know that I've got some security. Maybe that's it. I guess maybe it's possible he just wants out of Boston, that it was dysfunctional this year and he wants out. Although one would assume that with Kyrie Irving leaving, presumably, things would clean up from a functionality standpoint. Is Al Horford going to chase a ring somewhere else and says that the Celtics aren't the team to beat? And at the end of his career, he wants a chance at a ring? And so he's already admitting that the Celtics aren't the team in the East, that he would rather go to a true contender, join the Lakers on the cheap, join the Warriors on the cheap, join the Raptors if Kawhi stays, or the Bucks or something. I don't know. It's interesting. Is it possible that Al Horford is doing Danny Ainge a solid and Ainge says, take less, we'll rework the contract, but it'll give us more money to go poach Tier A free agents this offseason? Although that seems unlikely because they haven't really been approached or attached to any of the Tier A free agents. No matter what, it's interesting because Al Horford at $30 million saying no thanks definitely seems to leave him vulnerable financially this offseason. Unless there's the other play, which is, look, Kevin Durant's injured. Kawhi is staying. Klay is staying. Kyrie's going to Brooklyn. There's teams out there that want to spend money this offseason, and if they miss out on Klay, KD, and Kyrie, they got to spend it somewhere. But Al Horford saying no thanks to $30 million for next year in Boston is absolutely interesting. The other interesting story today in the NBA is that the Pelicans, according to The Athletic, are reportedly looking for Bradley Beal, that they are monitoring a potential trade for Bradley Beal. Now, the Wizards reportedly are not going to consider trading Bradley Beal unless the offer is overwhelming. But Beal's only 25 years old. He averaged 25 points and 5 rebounds and 5 assists per game last year for the very dysfunctional Washington Wizards. He's a 2-time All-Star. He's got 2 years remaining in his contract. Now, Bradley Beal stated a couple of months ago that he doesn't want to leave Washington. He says, I hate change. If I can retire in this jersey, I will. I'm all about loyalty. So maybe Beal doesn't want to leave, but if I'm the Pelicans, sniffing around Bradley Beal is a great move. Look, after you get past Zion, Ja Morant, and Barrett at number three, there's a lot of ifs in this NBA draft, and I would even consider Barrett a pretty big if. Heck, I might consider Ja Morant a pretty big if. I think there's Zion and there's everybody else. And so in this draft, having the number four pick overall is good, but it's not a slam dunk. And if you're the Pelicans and you have all of these draft picks in the next coming years from the Lakers with this AD deal, trading the number four pick away this year and getting Bradley Beal for that and something else makes a lot of sense. I mean, imagine a team with Drew Holiday, Bradley Beal, Zion Williamson, Julius Randle. You know, suddenly that's a pretty good basketball team. At the very least, it's a playoff team. And how amazing would it be if the Pelicans actually got better by trading away Anthony Davis? Look, I don't think that the Lakers gave up too much, because to get a superstar in his prime at 26 years old, and reportedly you're going to have him re-sign there long-term so that he's then the franchise centerpiece after LeBron retires or leaves, makes a lot of sense no matter what the cost is. Was it a lot to give up? Yeah, it was a lot. Three players and all of those draft picks and unprotected swaps, that's a lot. But I'm not going to sit here and kill the Lakers for this, because I don't think it was too much. It was a lot. I don't think it was too much. For the Pelicans, you're drafting Zion to be your centerpiece. And Drew Holiday's been very effective there. And now you have Lonzo Ball coming in as well. Now maybe you trade Lonzo, but if you trade the number four pick and one of those young players, maybe it's Ingram, maybe it's Ball, maybe it's Hart, to bring in Bradley Beal, or maybe you have two draft picks to bring in Beal. I mean, look, if the Wizards are trying to bring in Masai Ujiri and they're going to do whatever it takes to get him and pay him whatever he wants, giving him draft picks, I would imagine, is the way to go. So I like the Pelicans sniffing around Beal. I like Bradley Beal as a player. And if you're going to give up this year's number four pick overall in a draft where there is no slam dunk at number four, and you still have all of those draft picks 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, you're going to have a windfall of assets to help surround Zion with. But why not? If your top three players are Zion, Beal, and Drew Holiday, you're actually a pretty good basketball team. Okay? You might not win a championship, but at least you're winning games. You're exciting to watch. And you've got a reason to come to the arena and a winning culture, hopefully, around Zion instead of years of being pathetic and losing and surrounding him with trash. So I love it. I really do. And I think no matter what, the Pelicans will become one of the most exciting teams in the NBA, because it's going to be either Lonzo Ball throwing him oops to Zion. It could be Bradley Beal shooting. It could be Drew Holiday, but why would you not tune in to watch Bradley Beal? I mean, or I should say Zion. And if Bradley jumps in, I would take Bradley. If you would add that, why wouldn't you watch a New Orleans Pelicans game? I mean, there's not been a real reason outside of maybe watching the brilliance of Anthony Davis to be tuning in when you don't have to watch a Pelicans game. With Zion and some of these other players, they'd end up being on TNT, NBA TV, ESPN quite a bit.
I would take Bradley.
I would take Bradley.
Bradley.
I have to say, I consider Andrew Bogut to be the best update anchor here on CBS Sports Radio, and I believe on network radio in the country. I think he's amazing, and I love having him on the show, and he's a huge asset to have on the show. But today he's out because apparently his water boiler broke or something like this.
His basement was flooded because his water heater exploded.
Water heater exploded.
Maybe that's harsh, but that's kind of the email I received this morning.
I don't think that's harsh.
Well, maybe exploded is not the right word.
Ah, I see. Okay. But I will say that with Bogush being out, having Jay Berman do headlines is a real treat. And I don't know what it is about Jay, but everything that he says, I laugh at. And I don't know if he's intentionally being funny, but it's just funny. Like, he has now said twice in updates this morning, well said, to sound bites. And that just, to me, is pretty funny. Like, we had a soundbite of John and Susan, specifically John Sterling, saying the Yankees win. And Jay Berman said, well said, to John Sterling.
The Yankees win.
All right, well said. That was John Sterling on the Yankees radio network.
Is that well said?
No,
what's well said about that? It's just his... He's been doing that call for 30 years. Is that well said?
Also, it's not a post-game clip where you would maybe say, oh, that was a good point. He was just going with his Yankees win. Like, that's not well said. That's
well
schtick.
Said.
So he's had two well saids already this morning. There was another soundbite that he played that he also said well said.
How about hearing from Kawhi?
From the beginning, with the same mindset and focus.
All right, well said, Kawhi. Meanwhile, the Pelicans announced...
Was that well said?
It was certainly better, more well said than Sterling, but again, I wouldn't say that was some kind of in-depth point where that would make you say well said.
Is Berman just trolling us with every update? I kind of wonder if maybe he's just trolling us. Like, he knows it's not well said. He knows it's a dopey clip to play, but he's going to say well said almost sarcastically or ironically.
I think he's making a mockery of the updates on purpose, hoping for what exactly is happening here, somebody to notice.
Well said.
Look, every update anchor has their own niche. We all look at him and go, okay, they're reading the same script. Whatever. Berman wants to get noticed here, and he's getting noticed.
So he's had two well saids and two things that are distinctly not well said. But his coup de grace this morning, his icing on the cake, was the first update out of the blocks on this show. This is 9:01 a.m. Eastern Time. And right out of the blocks, Berman gives us a gem.
I'm Jay Berman. Let's start by telling you that we have basketball news. Four people were shot and wounded at a rally Monday.
Okay, there is so much here. Who starts an update by saying, we have news to tell you? Let's start off because we have news to tell you. That is inherently what an update is, news. That is what he is doing. He is giving us news. He's telling us news. So he is setting up, we now have news to give you.
Then let's start by telling you.
Let's start by telling you we have news to give you. That is approximately 10 words that are totally unnecessary because that is exactly what he is paid to do, give news.
Well, didn't he, I'm going to try to defend him here. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, we'd have to replay this. Didn't he say, I have basketball news?
Okay, but hang on, he didn't get there yet. Okay?
Oh, he said news to give you and then went to the basketball news?
Let's play that part again here.
I'm Jay Berman. Let's start by telling you that we have basketball news.
Okay, we have basketball news. Start by telling you we have basketball news. But if you just come out of the break and say, I'm Jay Berman, the Toronto Raptors celebrated their championship yesterday, that is inherently basketball news.
Right. We don't have to say, let's start by. No, you're starting already.
Let's start by telling you we have basketball news.
Let's start by telling you that we have basketball news. Well
okay.
said.
But here is where it becomes even better, is that said basketball news, I guess it must be about the AD trade. It must be about Bradley Beal rumors. It must be about Al Horford declining his option, right? It's something basketball related.
We have basketball news. Four people were shot and wounded at a rally Monday.
That's not basketball news.
No, it's not.
That's crime news. That's news news. That is not basketball news. It happened at a parade about a basketball team. That's not basketball news.
That's certainly not. That's not Al Horford. No, that's that would be basketball news.
Let's start by telling you we have basketball news. Four people were shot.
And let's start by telling you that we have basketball news. Four people were shot and wounded at a rally Monday.
Not basketball news! Definitely not basketball news. That's anything but basketball news. That is news news around a basketball thing.
Yeah, and then, look, different kind of shot as well when it comes to basketball.
I don't know if Berman is trolling us purposefully. I don't know. I think these are Easter eggs for us to discover and laugh at. I think he is trying to get a rise out of us because he knows that we will take it. We'll take the bait.
Have you not laughed this morning?
I have laughed. I have been entertained.
I have laughed.
And so while these updates are not nearly as crisp and professional as one Andrew Bogish, they are wildly entertaining, and I need more.
Let's start by telling you that we have basketball news.
Well said. He's not even confident in the telling you to start. Let's start by, I didn't write anything down. I'm going to wing this here. People were shot. This is basketball news.
Let us start by telling you that we have news to tell you that it's news that you may be interested in as part of this news update and this news flash. I'll be telling you coming up here in mere seconds about news that you care about.
Let's start by telling you that we have basketball news.
And this basketball news is two people were shot in the streets.
Four people were shot and wounded at a rally Monday.
You know what? I take back everything I said about these tennis tournaments nobody cares about. These update anchors need them. French Open, play it every weekend.
I need more Berman updates. I have never been as shocked by a news, well said, to the basketball news of four people being shot. Oh, hang on, another Woj bomb. Here it comes. Four people were shot at a rally. Wait a second. That's not basketball news. Now here comes Ramona Shelburne. She's got breaking news. Four people were shot. What? Uh-oh, here we go. Shams on The Athletic is reporting four people were shot. Basketball news.
The most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
Let's start by telling you that we have basketball news.
Well, please start by telling me you have basketball news. Then please get to the news. I would love to get to the news. Please tell me that you've got big news. When we come back here on the show, Daniel Jones booed at his hometown last night. Did he deserve this? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Well said.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
I'm actually in some hot water with my girlfriend right now because of your show. She asked me how I'm doing at work. I respond, a little wet, a little drippy. I'm doing nothing but speaking in your show drops, and it is actually causing me problems in my personal life.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Been there, done that. The other day, what was I saying around the apartment?
First time caller, too.
I just kept saying, first time caller, too, to myself. The bourbon bell wasn't even home. First time caller, too,
first time caller, too.
I go to the fridge, grab a beer. First time caller, too.
First time caller, too.
It's a dysfunctional life that we lead here on the DA show.
Rubbing bone on bone.
Bone. Bone.
Okay, how long you been on the air, DA?
Rubbing bone on bone.
The unexpected moment of the week is brought to you by ExxonMobil. This week's unexpected moment happened just 5 days ago at Oracle when the Raptors may have ended one of the great dynasties the NBA has ever seen by winning their first ever NBA championship over the Warriors. The most surprising part, the Warriors went 0-3, took an 0-for at Oracle in the final three games ever played at the building. Boy, if industrial plants could capture CO2, think how we could help lower emissions. ExxonMobil is working to make it happen. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. Does it feel like the Warriors used up all of their good luck, all of their karma? It's like they made this deal with the devil to suddenly become a monster. They had been bad forever, total afterthoughts forever. From basically 1975 through 2015, there was nothing to cheer for. And those fans did. They were great. Some of the best fans we had in the NBA. But Run TMC breaks up. The Baron Davis Warriors had the one moment as the eight seed, then never were that great. busted draft picks, 0 for the 80s, 0 for most of the 90s. I mean, nothing ever to write home about. And then suddenly, Steph Curry became an MVP. Klay Thompson became one of the most deadly marksmen in the game. Draymond Green turned into an all-star. And by flipping the switch to Steve Kerr, they became unbeatable and won a championship. And people are like, wait a second, what happened? And then they won 73 games. It was like, wait a second, how did this happen? These guys just dropped out of nowhere and became the greatest shooting backcourt of all time. And now they're winning more games than anybody else has ever done. We've got to talk about them historically. Then they happen to have the space to add Kevin Durant on the one-off season that the spike happens for the salary cap because the TV new deal was kicked in. They get Kevin Durant. You can't beat him. We're talking about them winning more titles than anybody. They win two in a row. They won three out of four. They rip through another regular season. It's inevitable they're going to win another championship. And then it's like all of the good luck got cashed in. KD goes down with a calf, then comes back and tears his Achilles. Klay Thompson gets injured, then tears his ACL. Everybody is injured in the playoffs, or in the finals, rather. And the final three games they have at a place where nobody could ever win, they lost all three of those games in a row to shut down Oracle. And the championship is clinched on their floor by the freaking Toronto Raptors. It was like they paid a hefty price for those 5 years, and now it's like over. Now, I'm not saying it's over, because certainly with Steph and Klay coming back once he's healthy, and you know, they should be competitive. But could Steve Kerr leave? Perhaps. Could Bob Myers leave? Perhaps. I mean, there's plenty of things that could happen here. And it's like they used every last wish out of that genie bottle up over the last 5 years. And then they had to make fun of Kawhi. Bad idea. By the way, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Last night of the Yankee game, Yankee fans booed Daniel Jones, the number 6 pick of the NFL draft, the new Giants quarterback. They booed him. He was showed to the Jumbotron, and they booed him. What are we doing? If you're a Giants fan booing Daniel Jones, you're lost. Do I think it was a reach to get Jones at number 6? Yeah. Yes, I do. But if you're booing the number 6 pick in the draft before he's ever done anything, what are you booing him for? Are you booing him just because he had the gall to be good as a college quarterback and then be drafted by a team that needs a replacement for Eli? Like, it's not Daniel Jones' fault he got drafted by the Giants to replace Eli. You're booing him because you love Eli? Daniel Jones has never spoken out about Eli. He's never criticized Eli. He hasn't been bad on the field. He hasn't thrown interceptions. He hasn't lost games. He hasn't demanded more money. He hasn't been uncoachable. Daniel Jones literally has not done anything to be booed for. Nothing. He just has the bad luck of being booed, or the bad luck of being drafted high. That's it? I mean, it's so asinine. And sometimes sports fans are the dopiest of the dope. I mean, just the dopiest. Look, you could think he's a reach. You could think Jones is a reach. You could love Eli. But booing Daniel Jones makes absolutely zero sense. If he throws a pick 6, loses a game, fine, boo him. If he throws 10 passes into the dirt, fine, boo him. If the offense puts up 6 points, fine, boo him. If he clashes with the coach, if he demands more money, fine, boo him. But all he's done is had a great minicamp, said all the right things, and what, he's a threat to Eli? Whereas I'll never understand not only people that want to boo a draft pick for what, being drafted too high, or a free agent that was signed for too much money. I don't get that. But also, Daniel Jones has actually been good throughout camp.
It just shows that idiots aren't paying attention. And what's happening here is you're getting the perfect storm. You're getting the Jet fans, which are dumb enough that are going to boo any Giant. You're getting the Yankee Cowboy fans, who really should just go back to the 90s and listen to Smash Mouth.
And there are Cowboys fans here in New York.
Right, that booed him. And now his own fans, the Giant fans, who are too obsessed with Eli Manning and the two Super Bowls he got and don't understand that when a guy gets old, you turn the page, don't want a new quarterback, and now they're booing this poor kid. I hope this kid goes out there this year and just gives a middle finger to every single one of these fans that booed him. I mean, how big a disgrace you are. And the irony is, they'll cheer any guy who's sucked forever, but, you know, you got to boo the rookie who's never played a game. Ridiculous.
I think you're right. There could have been Jets fans of the crowd that are going to boo any Giant. Could have been Cowboys fans of the crowd that boo any Giant. But mostly this is booing the guy because he's taking Eli's job.
Yep, exactly. How dare you take Eli's job when he has an offensive line now because he's not shot. I mean, wake up and watch the games.
And it's not Daniel Jones's fault. He hasn't done anything wrong. He just got drafted.
What should he have done when he got drafted? Gone up to the podium and be like, guys, you know what? I appreciate it, but please, this is Eli's team. Put me back in the hopper. Pass this pick. I'll waste it here and wait for another team to take me. I mean, what are you talking about? You root for the kid now.
Neanderthals. Idiots. Total idiots. When we come back here on the show, Brett Hull tried to get Blues fans of the parade to do a very unique Blues chant, one that nobody's ever heard ever before for any team, and Blues fans weren't taking the bait. We've got that audio coming up here for you next, plus Cutline and your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
I'm a fat lord.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Itchy nipple chub, bro.
40 minutes past the hour, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember that you can watch the show at watchda.com on any device, anywhere. And that includes your phone, your tablet, your laptop, your PC, watchda.com. So Sunday was the St. Louis Blues celebration parade. And as you might imagine, everybody in great spirits, a hockey city that's always been very underrated, and finally, after 50-some-odd years, had a Stanley Cup champion. And one of the greatest players in franchise history, Brett Hull, arguably the greatest player in franchise history, did not win a Stanley Cup, but was there as a beloved son of the franchise and an adopted son of the city. And Brett Hull, who had an amazing career, a Hall of Fame career, was there to celebrate. Now, I'm not quite certain why you put Brett Hull behind the mic there. You want him on parade floats, totally get it. With some of the players, totally get it. Giving a speech, all right, maybe he's like a human rally towel there. But did Damon Stoudemire speak yesterday at the Raptors parade? Did Tracy McGrady speak? I mean, you don't usually just prop up old retired guys unless they have roles within the franchise, I suppose. But anyway, Brett Hull takes the mic. And Brett Hull has always known how to party. Brett Hull has always been a little wet and a little drippy.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
He has always been able to crack a few beers and have a good time.
Pardon me, my foot. I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
So let's start with, obviously, everybody at the parade yesterday singing Gloria, and Brett Hull tried his hand at it.
Glory, Gloria, 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 I think I got your number, Gloria.
Okay, so number one, why did the DJ mixing DMX behind Brett Hull singing Gloria? Number two, I thought, Mraz, your rendition of Gloria was the worst I'd ever heard. That actually was worse.
I agree. It was totally worse. I actually had some feel for the lyrics. He was all over the place.
Oh, oh, calling. Oh, 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 calling Gloria.
See? I tried to hit a note there. He's just raspy voicing it.
Glory, Gloria.
That is a guy that has pounded a lot of whiskey over his life, probably smoked a lot of cigars, and now he's just having a good old time at that parade. In Gloria.
Gloria. I think I got your number.
Yikes. Okay, so anyway, Brett Hull really having a good time, but all right, you know, he's trying to sing Gloria, fine, par for the course. But then Brett Hull attempts to get a chant started. Now, Let's Go Blues would be an easy one. Let's Go Blues, Let's Go Raptors, Let's Go Warriors, Let's Go Mighty Ducks. I mean, it's an easy one at any parade. Let's go the team. Let's go whatever team you root for, let's go the team. For some reason, Brett Hull, in whatever state he's in, tries to overthink the chant here.
There is nothing more they have to do. So instead of saying, let's go Blues, we're going to say, we went Blues. We went Blues. We went Blues.
Well, I can't.
That's the Hall of Famer.
I can't quite determine if that was the best TV of all time or the worst. It was certainly entertaining.
We went Blues. We went Blues.
Because you're not going anymore, you've went.
Right, so instead of Let's Go Blues, urging them to cross some type of theoretic finish line, we've already gone through the finish line, so we went Blues.
We went Blues. You know what? I get it.
You get it.
I didn't get it when I put the audio in earlier, and I didn't even think of that. Now that I overhear it, he's right.
Okay, so
that should be said more if you win a championship.
Yeah, it really should. It
really
really rolls off the tongue there. So let's just say when the Yankees, if the Yankees win a World Series this year, you will yell, we went Yankees.
We went Yankees.
We went.
I think it works.
You think it does?
Because why are we saying let's go all the time? Let's go to get to that point. The Blues went. We went Blues.
We went Blues.
Yes.
I think we went crazy.
Or maybe it should be Blues, we went. Blues, we went. Because it's Let's Go Blues and Blues, we went.
Yeah, we went drunk there.
We went Blues!
Can you imagine being Brett Hull's beer-sopped brain and just going like, I think this makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, like, instead of Let's Go anymore, like, we went. We went. I'm going to do that. And the crowd's like, I've never heard this ever said. Nobody's following along with the chant. He's just yelling, we went Blues, and nobody follows suit.
We went Blues!
Everyone's like, I'd never heard of that before. No, that doesn't really work, Brett. So that's a hell of a performance. Not to be topped, though, by Zach Sanford, who there is video of him on the parade float, and he openly pukes on himself. He just vomits all over his jersey. I mean, I know Anheuser-Busch is located in St. Louis, but how much did all of these guys have to drink?
So you definitely think that's drink-related, because that's even before you get to City Hall. I was thinking maybe, you know, had a little bad breakfast.
No, I don't think a bunch of hockey players celebrating a Stanley Cup, if they vom, I do not think that it's because they have an indigestion.
But that's in the float in a car. That's early in the parade. How much could you have drank to that point? Oh. Brett Hull on stage by that time we get it.
Guess how old Zach Sanford is?
22.
24. Believe me, he woke up and started drinking at 6 a.m. He might never have gone to bed. 24 years old, in St. Louis, with a parade coming up, hockey player. My guess is from Canada. He never went to bed, and he drank throughout the night.
That's disgusting. Have some self-respect.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
I think I got your number!
We went Blues! We went Raptors!
We went Blues!
Yeah, we really did, didn't we, Brett? Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, make way for what's next when CBS Sports Network brings you a WNBA showdown between the Washington Mystics and the Connecticut Sun, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
We went Blues!
Well said.
Norman tweets, I want to trash myself for allowing myself to put my bride of 19 years in the position where she shattered her femur.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Huh. Do I want more details on that, or?
Definitely.
I do. Whew. Wow. Okay. Jonathan tweets, I'm trashing Dixieland Dan for not calling in before today. His trash was an instant classic. PGP was just the start.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Dixieland Dan was great today. His first ever call to the show. The Silver Fox, I'm trashing my wife, DA. I brought home my freezer suit to launder. My wife, being nice, washed it before I'd gotten to it. But wait a minute.
Now wait a minute.
She didn't empty the pocket. She missed two knives, my charging cable, three markers, and two pens. And it's my fault?
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Two knives, a charging cable, three markers, and two pens? That's a lot of pocket space. Ryan tweets, DA, I gave a homeless guy who had ripped clothes and shoes a bag full of clothes and Nikes. He has yet to wear any of it and still asks for money daily. Do you think I should confront him about it? No, do not confront bums. Nope, do not confront homeless people, bums. If you give them something, they have every right to do whatever they want with it. You've given it to them. It's theirs now. I'm just saying, when the bum came up to me yesterday, no shoes, and said, can I get money for a coffee? I'm thinking to myself, well, let's start at the shoes. I think you can hold off on the coffee. Let's make sure, like, your feet don't freeze off or get some type of gangrene from walking the streets of New York City without shoes.
Well said.
Thank you, Jay. Arthur tweets, I'm trashing you, DA, and every other sports show for using sound bites from people like LeVar Ball and Drake. If you give them no attention, then they go away. Okay, trash me.
Splash Brothers. More like the Trash Brothers.
I hate to break it to you. If I don't play a Drake soundbite, Drake doesn't go away. Drake is a very popular recording artist, and he's going to continue recording music, even if I don't play a soundbite of him. Number two, you're right about LeVar Ball. I never have LeVar Ball on the show. I have said to Mraz, we will not book LeVar Ball. I cannot stand him or his act or giving him the oxygen. And we did play a LeVar Ball soundbite the other day to make fun of him. Senor Pantleg tweets, where the hell has Dixieland Dan been as a caller this whole time? Nice job. Aaron tweets, I'm trashing the rain that we get every single day. 6 days of no rain since the end of April. Hashtag little wet, little drippy.
Pardon me, my foot. I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Stinky debris.
Let's get to the epic fail of the morning. Yesterday on LinkedIn, a young person reached out to me and asked if I would write them a recommendation letter. And I paused and had to ask myself, how can I do that? I don't even know you.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I can't imagine randomly emailing Bill Pito in 1996 and saying, can you write me a recommendation letter? He doesn't know who I am. He doesn't have any idea who I am, where I'm applying to, what my skill set is. He doesn't know if I've been a good line cook at the Dairy Queen. He has no idea what I am. How am I going to get him to write a recommendation letter for me?
I don't want your chair. You got your chair.
You know, and I'm happy again to advise, but I can't write. What does he think recommendation letters are? I mean, do you think it just comes from the sky? Like, oh yeah, randos that don't know you write recommendations letter for you.
And I'm always right? A big fan of the gold bond, and I use that all the time.
Now, okay.
Don't you have to look that up or have some sense of where they come from?
But maybe he's desperate.
And I hear a bang on the table.
And this is like the tooth fairy? People just drop recommendation letters on your pillow?
I would drop the recommendation. And here's the other thing. You could maybe ask this person to meet up for coffee or something to get to know them, but do you really want to go through that? Well, I would just write the letter, done with the kid.
I didn't check where he is from. He could be from Toledo. I have no idea. I don't think he's around.
Fly to Toledo. Help him out.
I should fly to Toledo and have coffee with this kid.
I look up and boom, thing bounces off my big old gonzo.
To learn about him, to write his recommendation.
If you're not going to take the time to just write the letter blindly, the least you could do is at least try to get to know him before writing a letter.
Let me tell you, my eyes watered a little bit. Yeah, just a little story, I guess.
He could be an absolute unmitigated natural disaster.
Yeah, he probably listens to the show and sees I'm a disaster and thinks you support disaster.
And then I've recommended this kid for something. I don't even know what.
Smashed in the nose with a foul ball.
What happens if it gets in, if it's to get into college and this kid is a total flunky, drug addict? I don't know.
Well, so now we're making a leap of faith to drug addict.
I don't know anything about him. I don't know anything about him.
Give the kid some hope, some chance in life. He may have nothing.
I'm giving him hope. I'm giving him chance. But I don't know if he does cans of Whippets before school. I have no idea.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I can't write you a recommendation letter. I don't know you. Boomer tweets, I'm trashing the lady behind me who lost her mind, arms flailing and cussing me out for 20 blocks because I took 3/4 of a second to go after the light turned green. They make pills for that type of lady.
Taking out the trash.
Jimmy tweets, after watching the U.S. Open, I have to trash the get in the hole guy. Hearing it on every shot, even on par 5 tee shots, which unless the golfer is Happy Gilmore, the only hole the golf ball is going to find at a tee shot is a gopher hole.
You're so trashy.
Get in the hole guy is the worst guy. Noonan guy, the worst guy. The worst guy to be out on the golf course with is the guy that only quotes Caddyshack and Happy Gilmore on every shot, every hole. And then in a real professional tournament, starts to yell things like Baba Booey on every tee shot. It's like, come on. Come on. There's got to be some better material. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com. And thanks to Jay Berman, well said, on your headline this morning. We got you tomorrow. We'll see you then. Be good and be good to one another. Kristen Ledlow will join us, hopefully outside of the intimidation factor of huge freeze. I'm DA. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.